Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this glorious fall morning. As we begin our worship service today, let us greet our friends and neighbors and pass the peace of God to each of those sitting next to us or across the aisle or in front of us. If you would stand and pass the peace. Now, if you will return to your seats, let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation. There are several announcements that I would like to call to your attention. First of all, if you look on the inside of your bulletin in a box, you will see there is a date for an administrative board meeting. This is the meeting that we traditionally hold to approve the nominations and the budget and everything for next year in preparation for annual conference. So it's really important that you're present. Excuse me. You will also notice the upper rooms are available. If you'll check that out. And there's a mention in here of the Fall Fun Day at the Farm. That was the very first page of your newsletter. All sorts of exciting things like the corn maze and cornhole and corn cannon. Some fun activities for the entire family. So if you will look at that, check it out, and let them know if you're planning on coming. Because it's a minimal cost. And they will stay until after the bonfire's over. So in order to experience some fall fun and festivities, very much like these absolutely gorgeous fall flowers we have on the altar today, a good way to enjoy the outdoors and fall. If you'll please check that and make a note. There's also some information in there about the crisis shelter as well as the need for coats. I think anyone who was up early in the mornings know that they're going to be needing coats. So if you've got some, any size, shape, whatever, we can certainly use them in our coat closet. Now let us continue our worship service as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? We have come together because of God. We have come together because of Jesus. We come together because of the Spirit. Let's worship God with Jesus and the Spirit.
Remain standing, please, as we join together in our invocation and affirmation of faith, both of which you will find printed in your order of worship. Spirit God, in the beginning you gave life and movement, color and harmony to the universe. Everything moves by your power and is one through you. But most of all, you move in the minds and spirits of men and women. You give vision and insight, speaking spirit to spirit. You stir the sleeping conscious, rouse the dormant mind to seek justice, express beauty, declare truth. Most of all, you come in the power of Jesus, bringing love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So move in us now in mind and conscience. Stir and quicken us with beauty and truth, and give us all your harvest, now and always. Amen. And now let us join in that historic affirmation of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Old Testament reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verses 1 through 12. Listen for this reading from God's Word. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead, as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the Negeb, and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. The epistle reading today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Listen again for God's word to us. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully maltreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The gospel lesson is from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 22 verses 34 through 46. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
As we join our hearts and minds this morning together in an attitude of prayer, I want to offer the first prayer of thanksgiving this morning for the privilege of being here with you to worship together. It brings back a lot of wonderful memories for me to come into this place. The first when I was about 5 years old and would come to worship with my grandfather and grandmother in this church. And then later as your associate pastor and now to be worshiping with you in a different role. I'm grateful to be here. I do not like the reason that I am here, because of the illness of your pastor, but Terry will be back at work tomorrow, and we continue to pray for healing and good health for him as we pray for this great, great church of ours in the heart of the city. Let us now join our hearts together in an attitude of prayer. Gracious God, there is much for which to be thankful this day. We are thankful for health. We are thankful for those gathered around us who support us and encourage us and nurture us and nudge us to grow in our faith. We are grateful for your great faithfulness to us, even when our wills would have us turn away. Forgive us for those times when we have been less than you have called us to be and done less than you would have us to do. Gracious God, this day I pray that you would continue to pour out your blessings upon this church and upon each one gathered here this morning. We come with a number of needs and concerns and prayers of our own upon our hearts. And so in these moments, we lift them up to your throne of grace and mercy. For those whom we love who are ill or infirmed of body, of mind, or of spirit. For those who just begin new life in these days, for all who travel, for those who may be gathered who carry burdens that no one else knows, gracious God, hear our prayers. Continue to be with us in this time of worship. May all that we say and do as we gather together bring you glory. and be pleasing in your sight. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to say together when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings. God, take these gifts of our hands and bless them and multiply them and use them to feed a hungry world. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we ask the children to come forward for the children's message.
Thank you. Good morning. We have some still coming, I think. Getting that last coin. It's okay. Come on. Hey, you missed one. Go back. Go back. Go back. You missed one. Go back. There you go. There you go. All right. Bunch of boxes today. You want to put yours in there? Very good. I have a basket here, and it's got a bunch of stuff. What are these? Hearts. Okay. Actually, this isn't a basket full of hearts. Exactly. This is a basket full of love. You agree? And we usually just kind of do that at Valentine's Day, right? We do little hearts and stuff. But we're going to do it a little different today. So we have a basket full of hearts. And God said that we should love Him with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul. And then He said, Jesus said, we should just love ourselves. Did He say that? He didn't? Are you sure He didn't say that? So I could go, oh, oops, I love me. I love me. Love me. Right? No, that's not quite right, is it? What are we supposed to do? Love God, and then love who else? Jesus, our neighbors. What's a neighbor?
Like the person who lives next door.
A person who lives next door. That's right. But you know, sometimes that means neighbor means some people who live really, really, really far away that you don't even know. And God says you need to love them even though you don't know who they are. By giving this money to raise money to get the cow and the sheep and the goat and the llama and everything else that you did, you are showing love to your neighbors who are way, way far away somewhere that you don't even know. So you are following His commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We're going to do something today. I want all of you to take a heart, at least one, maybe two. There's enough, I think. You can have maybe two or three. That would work too. Oh, a whole handful. That works too. Yeah, that's good. Oh, you've got lots of love, don't you? Woo, He's got so much love. You do too. I know. I see that. Okay, everybody got some love now? All right, now what we're going to do. You got too much love? I don't think you can have too much love. All right. Okay, come on. What I want you to do is take your love, and I want you to go out, and I want you to give it to somebody out there. Go give it to one of your neighbors. Come on, I'll go with you. They won't bite you. They'll love you back. Oh, don't give them back now. Come on. Get your love. Come on. Come give love. I'm going to give love to Mr. George because I love him a whole lot. And we're going to love Jimmy. Are you giving love? Give love. Mr. CJ and Mr. Fred, go give some love. Well, you know what? Since you're not going to give anybody else love, I'm just going to hug you and love you. You want to go give some more love? Somebody might not get love today unless you go give them some. How about that? Some people go all day, all week, all month, and nobody gives them any love. So you're giving them some love today. Oh, how nice. There we go. Have you given out all your love? Have you given it all out? Okay. You want to come back? No. Okay. All right. There we go. Let's have a prayer. Here we go. You have some left, but you can give them later. You can save them up. You know what? You don't have to give your love all at one time. You can save it up and give it later. That's pretty profound, actually. Okay. Let's have a prayer. Can we pray? You pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for all the love You give us. Help us to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. In Thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, go share some love.
Do any of you juggle? I've tried. My daughter taught me to start with scarves. That's really not too hard. You take two scarves and you sort of toss one up in the air and it floats there while you toss the other one up and retrieve it. And you can do a couple of scarves fairly easily. When you get home this afternoon, you might want to try that. Adding a third scarf gets to be more difficult. And then when I tried to do it with balls, well, let's just say it was not a pretty sight. It did not work well. I've never been able to do it. But I love to watch people who can juggle, who can keep all those balls going at the same time, or maybe they'll juggle knives. I don't know how they do that. It just scares me to death. It's fascinating to watch these folks. Juggling is sometimes what we think of when we look at our lives and think about how much we're trying to do all at the same time. Keeping up with our families, there goes one ball. Keeping up with our job, there goes another ball. Our responsibilities at church, there's that tricky third one. School activities, social obligations, they all fight for room on our schedules. That's why in recent years, my planner has gone from this to this. We have to juggle so many things. It's exhausting. The Pharisees did a lot of juggling too. Every day they lived their lives trying to figure out whether or not they were breaking any of the laws, not the Ten Commandments, but any of the 613 laws that had been developed over the years. They went from the Ten Commandments to the big planner. The Pharisees were sincere in their faith. Now, we have gotten used to booing and hissing anytime we hear the word Pharisee. I learned to do that when I was in Sunday school. But they weren't bad people. They were just very sincere and very intent on making sure that they and everybody else kept those 613 laws the way that they had been developed. So I'm not going to be too hard on the Pharisees this morning because I know I've got a little bit of Pharisee in myself. And I would imagine that some of y'all might have a little bit of Pharisee inside as well. So I'm guessing they're thinking maybe it would be helpful if Jesus would just tell them one law. One law, the greatest law, the one that should be kept above all of the others. And then they wouldn't have to worry about juggling those 612 others. They could be sure they were good with that one and do the best that they could with the rest of them. So one of them asks, "Which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Yeah, it was a test. Yes, they had already been put down by Jesus once. The Sadducees had gotten their hands spanked a second time. They were really trying to trip Jesus up. But maybe there was just one Pharisee like you and me in the crowd that day. Maybe there was just one Pharisee there who was crushed under the weight of all of the shoulds and the shalls and the oughts and the musts and was trying to find a relief from some of that burden. Tell me, what's the one thing I need to do? The greatest commandment. And Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with your whole being, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with every part of who you are, and love your neighbor as yourself." Period. He took those men who were so anxious to please God back to the basics. He used the KISS principle, keep it simple. The entire law, all of those books that they had in their offices and in their libraries, could be summed up very simply. When you think about it, it makes sense. Take those Ten Commandments. Have no other gods before me. Don't take God's name in vain. Honor the Sabbath. Those are ways to love God. Honor your parents. Don't murder. Don't steal or lie or commit adultery. Don't covet. Those are good ways to love your neighbor. It also makes sense when we remember that very small scripture, the one that was our favorite to memorize when we were young because it was so short. God is love. It's not only written in the book of 1 John. It's a theme that's threaded throughout the entire Bible. God's love is motive. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Love is Jesus' message to the world. On the night in which He was gathered in that upper room with His disciples, He told them, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Even as I have loved you, love one another." And it is love that is the power behind the Holy Spirit. All of this reminds us how to live in the world. If love is the basic rule of our lives, then it makes most decisions fairly easy to make. So if we wonder if something is the right thing to do, we can still use the principle of love to decide whether or not it is the best thing to do. It's more basic even than any of the other rules that we have that we live by. John Wesley's general rules or the four laws of Rotary. But love of God and love of neighbor has got to be more. More than just a good guiding principle for our lives. Being made in God's image, we're compelled to love because we were created to love. Even though the sin in us fights hard against that love, we all want to love. I can't help but think here of the scripture that I have read in more weddings than I can possibly count. Maybe it was read at your wedding as well. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. It's a beautiful text that begins to flesh out what love is, as well as what love does or what love doesn't do. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't begrudge others their gifts or accomplishments. Love doesn't brag or boast. Love is not always parading itself around in superiority over others. Love isn't selfish or self-seeking. Love isn't easily angered. It doesn't fly off the handle or throw temper tantrums. Love forgives the mistakes of others rather than keeping score of their faults. Love doesn't delight in evil. It's not happy when bad things happen to other people. Love is a positive quality that drives out destructive tendencies. As we begin to look at those characteristics of love, it's a reminder that love isn't a feeling. Love is not always warm and fuzzy. Love is a way that we act. Love is not so much what we do, but who we are. So while Jesus' command to love simplifies life in so many ways, I only have two things to remember: love God, love neighbor. It doesn't always make it easy. Simple and easy are not always the same thing. Because you see, love often involves a choice. I don't have to think about loving my husband when he's doing everything exactly the way I want it done. I hope he's not listening. He's preaching at his church. This will come on later. Maybe he won't hear it. But sometimes when he's grumpy, I have to make a choice. Resentment is easy. Love takes work. Loving neighbor involves a choice. And it takes into account not just loving those who are far away, like Myra reminded the children today, people that we don't know. It takes into account Jesus' command to love our enemies. And I think especially this week, as I've seen people's reactions to the death of Gaddafi, as well as remembering how people responded to the deaths of Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden, what does it mean to love my enemy? Hate is easy. Love takes work. Loving God is easy when I think about Jesus' choice to die for us, or about the many blessings that have come our way. But when someone we love dies unexpectedly, or we find out we've received a diagnosis that we didn't want, anger and doubt are easy. Love takes work. Love requires action. If we've been involved in a misunderstanding, it's easier to let pride win the day than to seek forgiveness and reconciliation and let love rule. Love bids me set aside what I might think or feel and to take up the mind of Christ Jesus, who welcomes the alien and the stranger. Love draws me out of my own world and thrusts me into a week of Salkahatchee. Love requires that I become engaged in acts of social justice on behalf of the least and the last and the lost. Love takes work, but we can love because God's spirit of love lives within us. We love because God first loved us. What are you juggling this morning? How many balls are you trying to keep up in the air? What are they? Do you have your hands full of pride and past hurt? Are you trying to keep your own self-interest in the mix along with the love that God commands? Folks, it doesn't work. You might think you can juggle all of these things, but Jesus is asking you to drop all of the extras and focus this morning on love. Just doing that is plenty. In fact, it's more than we can do by ourselves. It's only by God's grace that we are able to love in such a way, because it is through God's grace that we have been loved into right relationship with God. Jesus not only taught us the great commandment, he showed us what it looked like and continues to call us to follow after his example. It's just that simple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I want to invite you, as we sing this hymn, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand," to drop away some of those things that you're juggling, that's too much. To let God take your hand and give you peace and rest. Hymn number 474, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." Let us go forth into the new season of our lives.
We are forward, we are growing, changing, and living.
let us go with caring awareness for the world and all that is in it.
We go to discover the needs and opportunities around us.
Let us go forth in peace and be led out in joy.
We go in God's